Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we ask that you continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones, as well as Manhood, Race, and Culture, as a liking group page, and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Please reach out to Brother Arlie. Let him know how much we love and appreciate his dedication to the community. And support him on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And again, Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. As well as we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the families and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. As a reminder, please go to redistributethepain.wordpress.com. Check out the Redistribute the Pain campaign. And as always, we want to remind you, if you have lost track of a loved one who is behind enemy lines, as long as you know what state that they were convicted in and, of course, their name, we can help you find them. And it means the world to our brothers and sisters when they do hear from us. So please reach out to us so we can help you reach out to them. You can find me on Facebook as Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times, as well as on Instagram and Queen_Tahira and at Queen Tahira on Twitter. So please reach out to us so we can reach out to you. Tonight's guest is Brother Royale out of Detroit, supporting the Peace and Unity Summit that's coming up in Chicago, April 28th and 29th of this year. So I want to open up his mic and welcome him to the broadcast. Welcome, Brother Royal. How are you doing this evening?
Peace and blessings. How are you doing? I'm all as one here. Excuse me.
Ashe. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are going to have about an hour's worth of dialogue here tonight on Sign of the Times. And so please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do. I know that there's some that's happening in Chicago, but you are from Detroit. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. I'm Brother Royal Dean Sullivan. I'm currently out of Detroit. And yes, I will be there, God willing, next month. I believe it's the end of April, for the Peace Summit, the major Peace Summit in Chicago. I had a nonprofit group up here, UIC, Unity in the Community, which we help with the children, try to guide them and assist them in school. I work with, along with some of the other brothers up here, Brother Trick Trick. I'm pretty sure a lot of individuals are familiar with him, Trick Trick and the Goon Squad. He's a rapper, but he does some movements up here, talking with the youth. Nevertheless, though, my main concern right now is this peace movement. I was definitely honored to be a part of it. I talked to I will tell you, I'm a standing member of Growth and Development, even though this is for everyone. All organizations, tribes, sets, if you will, is for everyone. And I would like to say, if there's any positive input or constructive criticism, it is always welcome, because one thing we want to do is hear what the next person has to say. As we say in our organization, when it comes to speaking out, there are no big eyes, no little U's. So all voices are welcome. But we do like to keep it positive. Sister, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I want to learn more about the importance of the summit. Can you talk about the original summit that was that happened in back in 1993, if you have any background on that, and what significance, considering it's 2018, we're talking 25 years ago, how can we anticipate that this summit is going to make as strong an impact as the 93 summit did?
Okay. First, let me tell you my notes. I'm not in my current location, so I don't have my the name of the brother. I forget his name that originally started this. Can you help me out, sister? What is his name?
Carl Upchurch.
That's thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm old, y'all, so you all have to excuse me. Yeah, Brother Carl Upchurch. Okay, this is primary the goal. The unity. As we know, in the 90s, there was like some seemed to be like an uprise in quote unquote gang activity, especially in Cali in the South, not necessarily in the Midwest at the time like it is now, but Cali and the West and the South. For sure, it seemed like it was like a syndrome of negativism going around and open shootings and broad daylight. I know when I was down in North Little Rock, broad daylight between Bloods and Crips and stuff like that, you know. And when it veers off of when our chairman went before the board, a lot of Snoop Dogg was backing him. Stanley Tukey Williams, rest in love, he was backing him because of the unity that he was, the political prisoner, he was trying to bring the unity. So that came about to aid and assist through the brother bringing up the truce between the Bloods and the Crips, which at the time, like I said, it coincided with Chairman Hoover's going before the board and people trying to come together because it was just too much going on at the time. It was too much. It was just chaos. And the way it is now, what we're trying to implement the similarities is we see Chicago. If not the murder capital, I know last year for sure they were murder capital. And we're trying to implement some of the directions that Brother Carl Upchurch utilized in order to get the Bloods and the Crips, certain sects. To major sets to stop the violence and kind of you know, look out for the kids and come together with unity. And if that could be done, it's almost like anything could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it did subside for a long time, even to this day. To be honest with you, nothing is like it used to be. In the early 90s, and even in Cali, I was there 3 years ago, and I was talking with some both sets, some Crips and some Bloods over near the Hollywood district in LA. And nothing is, they don't even really, there are very few that even wear colors like they used to, like when that movie Colors came out and stuff like that, when everything was so, it was just turmoil. And outright chaos. So if we can implement some type of strategy or method like Brother Carl just did then into the current in Chicago, it's going to aid and assist. It's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're calling for members of the People's Nation, the Folks Nation, those are all under those categories, the Crips, the Bloods, sets that, or quote-unquote gangs that even aren't up under those banners, but have broke off and maybe started their own that can still aid and assist in a positive sense. Because it doesn't take just those big names to quell the violence. it takes the community in general, from the smallest to the biggest, and vice versa.
Can you talk about the original purpose for these so-called gangs or tribes or organizations coming together? Was to protect the people, to protect the community, but somehow that message and mission got a whole lot of distractions. And we know, you know, how things can happen when we start to organize, when the people start to organize. And I'm speaking all the people start to organize. There are often things that happen as distractions. Can you talk about why it's important to get back to the original roots and the purposes of those affiliations coming together in the first place?
Okay. Now, there was a I talked to some when I was living in North Little Rock, between Vicksburg, Mississippi, and North Little Rock, back in 88, 89, before I came back up here in 92 to Detroit. I used to talk with OGs. I was 16, 17, and I would talk to gentlemen that were like 30, 40 years old, straight from California, coming there to settle down or for money purposes or what have you. And they even backed it up, what the information now, the informational era now is bringing out, that it started out as, for those that are familiar with, like, the Black Panthers, protecting the community. That's Cali-wise. Even in Chicago, the first nation that started, that was government-funded, was CVL, which was Conservative Vice Lord. And it was to for us to have our own, similar to like the Black Wall Street that it took place some years ago before it got destroyed. But that's what it was. It was to aid and assist the community, to make sure that our structure was still safe and sound. But when crack, and this right here is the stronghold from the devil that was thrown in, when crack came into the play in both eras, in geographical areas, Chicago or Cali, it caused a division, and it caused a power. This is my area. This is yours. And it's almost like the government, and I can say this because before cocaine, they even had it in movies, that it was glamorized. But when it got into the form, someone thought of the kind of congeal it and what it did to people, and then it distributed it out throughout the Black neighborhood, then it caused a division. And it caused more chaos, and they took the focus from saving the neighborhood to demanding neighborhood. In the same way it did in Chicago and throughout, even down south. With people, this drug is similar to the opioid epidemic now, but it was worse because what the individuals would do for that drug is what caused a lot of confusion and chaos, killing, separating families, brought a nation that could over time could have maintained, it brought it down, it crumbled it.
Mm-hmm.
It even set Crips against Crips, Bloods against Blood. And even in Chicago, had folks robbing folks instead of sticking together and unifying and keeping what the original intent was. It just caused a lot of diversity anger, and just outright chaos, confusion, and destruction. And so, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. And then we add to that the fact that, you know, there was a co-optation of hip-hop music as well as mainstream media. And also the school system, that's when it really started to torpedo as well, where a lot of inner-city schools, even though they continued to get, you know, what I consider massive amounts of funding compared to how much it actually costs to educate and uplift a child, those things seem to be working hand in hand to make the oppression worse. And so here we are in 2018, and to me, it seems as though we've survived the storm, if you will, and now it's time for us to reestablish who we actually are. The quote that I pulled up from the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey said, "A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without its roots." And that's so true. And so how do we, I guess, reestablish that message back into especially the youth, because they have the energy. And it's been said that the elders are for knowledge and the youth are for war. How are we going to reestablish that, first of all, that connection? Because, you know, you're right about the crack epidemic. It caused a lot of disruption, not only in the communities, but in families. And you talk about blood against blood. There was actually father against son and mother against daughter as well.
Exactly.
So here we are. But we're as strong as we've ever been and have the most potential as we ever had. So how do you foresee us using the Peace Summit to, I guess, be a pivotal point in turning this thing around?
Excuse me. Let me piggyback off what you were saying, kind of expound upon it a little bit more. In the 70s in Cali, what they would do is, and it didn't just last then, but it was really profound then, mainly black men, and basically give them records to keep records, if you can understand what I'm saying, would give them a charge to almost take charge. And I think personally, this is the reason why a lot of our black youth then weren't becoming police officers. Because as we see in so many states, we have the majority of white officers over the black individual. And like Detroit here has the majority of black. But that's how many states can say that? The bigger states are New York, Chicago, California. The majority of their, not only the judicial system is white, the police force is white, no matter what branch, whether it be state, city,
mm-hmm.
federal.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And what would aid and assist is if we had our own, we implemented back in the early 90s, the 21st century vote, Voices of Total Empowerment. And that was trying to get our youth to investigate, then vote for the lesser of the two evils. Because Democrats, they pose, meaning like a poser, to be for the minority. But all in all, no one is for the lower class, and especially the black man. Okay, but the lesser of two evils. All right, now it would be to come into the newer times, I would feel it's education. If we took the majority, you had said something about the rap music. All right. Rap music influences not just black, but every culture in the whole world. That is a voice to be reckoned with. If rappers took the initiative to not only just tell what they've been through or what they've seen, okay, that's good. The outcome from it and where you can go from a past to a present. To me, and I'm not trying to, you know, be like in the 90s when it came to Pac and certain other individuals where the media tried to call them outcasts and stuff, or NWA back in the 80s. But they are, to me, should be held more accountable, because a regular politician, the parents, they can implement stuff in the house, stars in the house, yeah. But the majority of the people, the young youth now, they listen to the rap music, whether it be with the parents or away from the parents. Even politicians, when they were running a few years ago, were using rap to get their point across. So it's a major component in curbing the violence and bringing back unity. And if we, a lot of these rappers, they claim majority now, not like before when they claimed they were brought from the Crypt. They claim blood. These individuals, man, they have a prominent voice in the community, in the younger generation, the mid to the younger generation. And these are the ones that have the most influence for the future, or toward the future. At this peace summit, the strategy, we need to have the strategy, the main objective, unify and curb the violence. To structure the neighborhood, to maintain and sustain unity, not just talk about it there and everybody give the applause and all right, brother, and this. And as soon as everything is done, a day or a week later, we're back to square one, because nobody wants to take the initiative to really implement what was put into place. That's what we have to do. We have to take the initiative. We have to really step out there. We have to show a direct plan and go with it. Mm-hmm. And don't show the big eye, little you syndrome. Let everybody's voice be heard. From bad, there can be some good. From too much good, which is veers into self-righteousness, there's bad. So we have to balance out. And the ones that have the most influence are the ones that should be stepping up. We reach them, they reach the masses. Because rap even goes into the two other countries that rap is prominent in, besides the United States, is Germany and Japan. So you see what that voice does and how it carries and how it influences.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, when a person wants to get hype, what they do? They put that one song on with that lyric that makes them some bug out. Or if they want to get, no matter the situation, they put that song on, that music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it back in the days when tribes would war, how would they do? They would stomp their feet, they would hum a tune of their liking or what have you from their tribe to build them up. You see what I'm saying? And then they would go proceed to do what they had to do.
That's right.
We reach the music, we got a whole community. And I'm not saying nobody is being unrealistic and saying the whole 100 will change. But even if we got a majority to change, that's beyond the star. And that's our main objective at this peace summit that's coming up, is to not play the big man, not say I told you so, not my way works and yours doesn't. No. It's to unify and to implement. And that's what we need to be focused on.
And so earlier you mentioned about, you know, voting and the importance of getting involved, I guess, in the politics that are happening around us in the community. One of the things that we've always said here on Sign of the Times is an ultimate goal is to, you know, I don't know if there's ever been a people's party because we are not represented by Democrat. We're not represented by the Republican. And I'm not sure even if the Green Party, as quote-unquote liberal as they are, really address the interests of those that are out here in the grassroots, you know, grinding everyday community. So do you ever foresee in our future, whether it come as a result of this summit or out of other work outside, that the people will ever form a party? And actually unify so that we don't have to choose between the lesser of two evils?
I do. Yet in the same sense, what has to be done, I would say, is the diversity of ideas, we'd have to come to one common cause. And that doesn't have color barrier or economical. We already know, just like you mentioned, I don't believe, and I agree with you, that any of these parties have the minority in their best interest, which would supersede even them because they're already in play. We have to get this Willie Lynch syndrome from out of our community. That's one. We can turn that around, that strategy that was put out there against us, if we can somehow reverse that and kill it. We're made people.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, a lot of these people, man, especially with these prominent voices, once they get comfortable, then it seems like they forget where they came from, and if they haven't, then they limit it because I'm up here now, I'm received, I'm accepted. And I don't want to lose this spotlight.
Right.
We got to get from under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
What will it take? Some type of strategy, proper planning, and to get one to realize you're still a prominent person, you're still going to have your money. We just have to back each other. No one is going to jump out there in the blindfold and jump out in the troublesome water full of sharks without knowing, okay, well, if I do this, then who has my back? Or how will I get saved if something goes awry and I need to be pulled back? And it veers back into unity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We have to get that back. Our mindset, our conscious awareness, back to that unity. like you said, as we as the different organizations and what they deem label as gangs started out to do. You know, I see, I remember when Chief Keith and a few of these other cats, younger cats, came out with what they called drill music. I truly feel if the organizations in Chicago had put a stop to that, or at least had some type of control over it without getting any interference from the feds with what we call the alphabet boys and scaring them, a lot would be different to this day. Because after that era right there, then came a lot of war between different organizations within the land, outside of the land, between like Amigos and all these people, like these other rap groups and stuff like that, Florida and stuff, and it seemed like it became a fad to the point where they're streaming live videos of them doing like it's a video game of them shooting and stuff like that, all this chaos. We have to understand that the government, they want to take credit for, they want to look at them, see themselves, let the public see themselves as the redeemer. And this is why a lot of individuals are scared to step up, because of that RICO law that the government put in place. Because they want to. They want that. See, we did it. Not them. Not the black community. Not the Hispanic community. Not the individuals coming together. And it's almost, if we could only see the bigger picture, because it's almost like, why would you do that? And you know we're the ones that can bring this back together. So if you destroy that, you keep it disarray. You keep it chaos, chaotic. It's almost like a hunter. Why are you going to domesticate these animals when you can let them run wild and let me, and that'll give me my chance to hunt? And a hunter is the government. See, these organizational heads need to realize that and spread it, whether through it be a concept, a writing, or going out on the beating the pavement themselves, and let the younger ones realize, look, not only is it a setup, and this is no conspiracy theory, this is for real. You're giving yourselves numbers, whether it be county or state. And when you get a number, what is it you can't become? You can't become any law official. And if you have two or more strikes, then it's permanently on your record. You can't get, only jobs you can more or less get are manual, not using your brain. And I hope and pray that at this peace summit, it's going to give some enlightenment to these individuals and let them see that the more you keep getting a record, getting arrested, and think it's cute because I can say I've been, I got a number, you hindering your future. You're stunting your growth. And that's what all facts.
Yeah, I know. That's here in my state of Ohio. Yeah. In Ohio, they've guaranteed these for-profit prisons a 90% occupancy rate. And so, you know, when you tell people that, it's like, damn, you know, we know where they're going to get, more than likely get those people from, you know, and it's, you know, it's a shame that the people in those positions to make those millions and millions of dollars can then turn around and sue if the state of Ohio does not fulfill its commitment to give them a 90% occupancy rate. So those are real things that we deal with out here in the community, trying to uplift our people is combating the state. Another one of the things, Brother Royal, is I see a big difference in how the opioid epidemic is being dealt with versus how we saw the state deal with crack. It seems as though it's looked upon as an illness when any addiction is, you know, eventually becomes an illness. People are getting treatment while other people are getting punishment. But we know without a shadow of a doubt in those scenarios who goes to jail. And so can you talk about how we can begin to address issues of addiction, you know, even in the summit to begin to have those kinds of communal conversations?
Be open, open, and open-minded. And when I say open-minded, that means when a person says, okay, well, I like Norcos, I like Opanas, I like this right here, whatever the drug technically is, what it is, of choice is. You can't pass judgment because of, oh, man, that's supposed to be a white person saying, you're black, why are you doing this? As we see now, and I know for a fact, the same way we used to look on, I'm going to say 20 years ago by now, oh, man, look at the white boys are the ones that use this or use that. Now it's even in the rappers are even encouraging. You see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
It's like you have to, you can't think of it as a certain area that this is supposed to be, and then I'm afraid to more or less bring it out just because they're gonna look at me and ostracize. You can't do that. You can't do that because the way it is now, everybody more or less is on that. And you're right, it is a big difference on how they deal with it and who they prosecute. It can be a black person high off the same type of pill as this white person over here. This black dude going to get a year or better, and this one over here going to get probation because he's, sort of like misunderstood, whatever. And as we can remember, the reason, the main reason why it got this bad and doing something about it is because it took so big of a toll on the white community because they're the majority of the ones. I'm not saying others don't do it. They're the majority of the ones that abuse opioids or any other thing, drug, to be honest with you. And they experiment with other paint cans and all that stuff like that. And now they get their treatment while the person that's still a user but has that darker tint to them gets time. Or a so stern of a probation that they're guaranteed to just slip and fall and then they still get time. And any white person that falls under that category of that the same or less than that so-called Negro, then he wasn't to be thought of in the first place. And in certain states and cities, they even still get almost that privilege versus a black person. And I don't want at this peace summit for it to be like a color war, but we have to still be bring to our conscious awareness the truth and don't be in denial, because there's a big difference. But the treatment to me is being open-minded. I used to go to sessions. I practice, I study psychology, social psychology. And before a situation happened in 08, I would go to like little sessions and sit in and hear that you can't, when and that's why I speak on it like I do, is because I've seen it personally. When a black person, what would seem like, oh man, that's a white person's issue, and the black people started to do it, then when they did speak up on it, it was more or less like, oh man, you're not even supposed to be acting like that or being like that. You know what I'm saying? Using that idea. So when it comes to, since I can say it on this on this behalf, the use, the abuse of drugs is more on a white level, if you want to say it like that, white level than a black. But now that it has spilled over so much into the black, and both are selling, but you know, it has spilled over into the black where even the rappers and stuff like that are talking, make glamorizing and pushing it on both, that you have to be open-minded, you have to be accepting, you have to be accepting in the sense of, okay, this does happen. Not, oh man, that doesn't happen over here. That's on, like, we have our dividing mile is 8 Mile. Over on the south, north side of 8 Mile, where the majority of the white live, that stays over there. It doesn't spill over here. You can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so a solution is, besides just, like I said, being open-minded, it's finding, like, okay, well, to get this out, I know in Detroit here, in Michigan, a lot of the pharmacies, they either put a limit on the opioids they can hand out, or they stop them in general, depending on the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they, I know certain states down south, they're obsolete, period. They abuse them so much, and so many individuals being caught up in time and stuff like that or what have you, that, I mean, it's just gone. They don't even have them at all in any pharmacy. So the problem now is not that they're not trying to do anything about it. It's the fact that who's getting caught up in the whirlwind, I would say the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it all still, I have to, I know a lot of people disagree with me, but music is a motivator. And when you got out, you got cats like Future and all this, you know, saying Molly Percocet and you know, that just lets a person feel like, okay, well, if I didn't try it before, if they're doing it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just another spiral down the hill. For any of those that are listening, if you do come to this peace summit, and I encourage you to, I pray that you all leave with a brand new idea or an enhancement on the ideas that you already have in play to change the majority of the situations that's going around us. because okay. I feel like if we almost did like a tumbleweed, and it started from this year on, and it went from state to state, state to state. Look, this is what we're going to change. We're going to implement these values, not laws or what have you. These values, we're going to instill these values and implement them. It will be a lot changing, and if we could reverse it to the point and make the good, the bad not good, then others, the ones that are still portraying that mindset, they're the ones that are feel like I'm an outcast, instead of the ones that are going against it, feeling like an outcast. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have that potential to have that bigger influence and impact. And I agree with you when you speak on the accountability, too. As we are holding ourselves accountable, the same accountability that we hold for ourselves are those that we should hold for those in our community, be they part of the hip-hop industry, part of the school system, part of, you know, churches or organizations or whatever. You know, and that's how we really, in my humble opinion, get to the point where there are no big I's and little U's. You know, everyone is considered and their time and commitment is appreciated. So, you know, I'm very much looking forward to continuing the conversations past the summit, past those that we have here on Sign of the Times, and moving them into actual action. So I want to invite those that are listening on your phone, if you'd like to come into the conversation. We are going to end here in about 20 minutes on Sign of the Times. Today's my granddaughter's 12th birthday, so I'm going to cut out a little bit early tonight so I can spend some time with my family. But we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, please feel free to push 1. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. We'll be right back.
Death is a multi-billion dollar industry. The cemeteries are full of people who've passed from a preventative illness. With the correct approach, you not only extend your chances of preserving your life, but you will improve the quality of your life with a natural approach. The earth provides energy healing herbs for the benefit of mankind.
Hello, I'm Amira Sankofa Kwali here at Ask Life Coaching Ministry. We're located at 1921 West Broadway. We've been in the healing business for over 20 years. To order my products, go to www.ask314life.com. I'm available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Namaste.
Ashe, welcome to our newest family member, Amira Sankofa Kwali of Ask Life Coach Ministries. You can reach her at area code 502-208-9142,
502-208-9142. Hello, I'm Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I've just recently completed a manuscript titled Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This work traces the demise of the nonviolent civil disobedience of the civil rights movement and the rise of both the Black Power era and Black Panther Party. Special attention is paid to Panther leaders such as Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bunchy Carter, and Geronimo Pratt. This story is told through the view of the Panthers and details the horrific, underhanded attacks that the organization experienced at the hands of the FBI's counterintelligence program under the orders of J. Edgar Hoover. If you're looking for the true story of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, pick up a copy of Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on Amazon.com. Thank you.
Ashe, welcome back. Welcome back again. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please push 1. If you're on your phone, if you're listening on your computer, dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. So welcome back for the room.
How you doing?
I say, I'm good. So we're going to get ready to wrap up here in a few minutes. But one of the things that I wanted to bring to the listeners' attention is that I'm looking at an article posted in reference to the Honorable Larry Hoover. And it says that as of 2/21/18, any correspondence with Brother Hoover needs to be approved in advance. And if not, the letters will be returned. So despite that, I want to give out his mailing address should people wish to write to him. And it's Larry Hoover, number 86063-024, Florence Admax, ADMAX, all caps, P.O. Box 8500, Florence, Colorado, 81226. Again, Larry Hoover, number 86063-024, Florence Admax, ADMAX, all caps, P.O. Box 8500, Florence, Colorado, 81226. And so that's troubling, you know, because Brother Hoover, if anyone has shown that they have been rehabilitated, if you will, it's been Larry Hoover. We also have political prisoner Mutulu Shakur, who if we had him out here in the community, we very well could be directly addressing some of the issues that we talked about as far as addiction goes. And so, you know, how are we or are we going to address this issue of mass incarceration so that the goal to unify both behind enemy lines and in society can actually come to fruition? And I yield back to you, Brother Royal. Brother Royal, I'm not sure if that's my phone or your phone, but I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can one of my regular callers please push one so I know that you can hear me, because I cannot hear Brother Royal. Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you now. Could you hear me?
No.
Oh, I am so sorry, y'all. I don't know what was going on. It was, did you hear me give out the address?
Yes. That's what I,
okay,
that's what
okay.
I wanted to address. That was a
okay.
problem. That's what I wanted to address. It was a memo put out last week that Chairman is, Larry Hoover is not receiving his mail.
Mm-hmm.
So Brother Anthony McIntyre of Switch Lanes is in charge of Chairman's all of his law detail. So for those who wish to either correspond with him, they have to get with Brother Anthony McIntyre of Switch Lane.
Okay. Okay, what I'll do is try to get, I guess, get his contact information either from you or online or something and make that happen. Because, I mean, it's just, it's troubling. It's just troubling.
It is. They can look on Facebook, Switch Lanes Nonprofit, and it'll have Anthony McIntyre, and it'll have all his information there.
Okay.
But he is the official person to go through that handles all of our chairman's affairs when it comes to law or what's going
okay.
on with him. So,
okay,
because
you said
that,
Anthony McIntyre?
The information, yes. If you see his profile, he has his beard is salt and pepper, more salt.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Ashe, thank you for that. And once I make contact with him, I'll follow up back with you, brother, because I just so upset. I'm going to go ahead and open up, I think we got a call in queue. Welcome, King Bati. How are you?
Peace and blessings, Queen. How you doing?
I'm good. Welcome.
Likewise, greetings, brother Raw. Ain't no doubt, GD folks.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. It's all good, man. It's growth and development. But, yeah, you know, I'm just sitting here on the look, listen, and learn. And, you know, I just want to extend my love, life, and loyalty to your family in the struggle. I'm from Alabama. And, you know, we're down here, we're organizing as well. But I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, you're right, because as I was studying the blueprint and I was, you know, seeing what they were speaking on, the leadership was speaking on how, you know, brothers used to be ashamed, you know what I'm saying, to use those kind of narcotics. You know, they were frowned upon, and we got to bring that back, you know, and that's the type of movement that really we pushing, you know, down here inside, you know, the sister man out, that, you know, we were like shaming brothers, you know what I'm saying, even like, you know, letting the young brothers know, like, yo, them dudes who you're looking up to, who promoting that, you know, Molly Percocet and all that stuff, man, them junkies, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. Yeah, I came through. It was a shame. You don't want to be no junkie, you know. And we got to make it. Got to make them feel that. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got to make them feel that, fam, because that's definitely a major part of it. You know, and like you said, that music has a major influence. And you know, we got to challenge those guys and even shame them, you know, because they're not feeling no pressure. And like you said, they turning around, you know, and making those, you know, making the brothers who are on the real tip, making us seem like we're outsiders. And that can't
That's
be,
right.
You know what I'm saying? We got to redefine that narrative, and we just got to take it back over, bro. And we got to shame them. So I'm here 100%, bro, full support. And I'm definitely going to let the fam know about the business, because we got, you know, some business to handle tonight. But I'm definitely 100% with you, bro, and all everybody who are part of that Peace and Unity movement, you know, from the United in Peace. Switch it around, you know, whatever it is, it's the same thing, fam, same concept, but it's love, fam, from Alabama.
All this one, my brother, all this one. Hello? Sister?
Yeah, I'm listening, folks.
Oh, let me give some clarity while we're talking about this. excuse me. United in Peace, that's no longer, that's being frowned upon right now. Brother Gator, man, he started out right, ended up wrong. You know what I'm saying? So Chicago no longer recognizes UIC until they can come correct. I just put that out there for you so you'll have a better understanding. But I know where you're coming from when you said that. I just want to make it clear, because we had a brother in Ohio. I just got back from Ohio Monday, and he mentioned in one of his raps, UIP, United in Peace, and we had to go ahead and, you know, politely correct him that's being frowned upon. So even mentioning that right there is almost like going against the body. You know what I'm saying?
720. In the vision, that's true. TML for that enlightenment, see?
All is one, my baby. All is one. Hey, listen. It's encouraged that Alabama get on board too, you know. If you all can come up here, a strong representative from you all can come up here and you know, bring something back to your community, you know. This is open. It's not just a growth development thing either. I just want to make that clear. It's open to all. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be the four major factions would be, you know, folks, people, Crips, Bloods, but, you know, those who have influence in their neighborhood that's even have, like, you know, little block crews or whatever. If they're willing to implement some positive and productive ways and really follow through with it, more than welcome. Because the more the merrier on this and on that in that aspect, you know.
Yeah, that's peace, fam. I'm gonna let the family know. You know, we hosting like a little small thing here in Alabama this Saturday. In fact, you know, down on this end of Gulf Shores, you know, and it's similar to what's going to be going on next month, you know, up there in the Shy. And like I said, we're going to be hosting it down here in Gulf Shores, just, you know, within the state of Alabama, but it's open to everybody, beyond boundaries, without measures. And we're just going to have a cookout, you know, some social growth and development, and just go from, you know, city to city and hood to hood within the county, and just, you know, putting it down how it's supposed to be, whether they blood, crip, you know, whatever, and, you know, just straighten this thing out and eliminate the beef that we had coming up with one another. We were beefing over, you know, old beef that had really nothing to do with us, that had something to do with dudes who came before us. And
that's
so we're
right.
Going back, you know, yeah, correcting that, you know, getting the youth straight, setting them in the proper, you know, vision on what it really is. And but I'm definitely going to do everything I can to get up there, and I'm going to let the fam know what time it is. So hopefully we can get up there and represent as well, fam, and bring back some jewels. That's love.
That's right. That's right. You get with sister, man. We're trying to put do we have a final destination yet?
It hasn't been publicly disclosed as of yet, but it's coming within the next week or
okay.
so.
Okay, that's good. That's good. But another thing, when it comes to the opioid situation, too, brother, we have to lend an open ear to them too. I know we're brought up in the same era as it was frowned upon, you know. But what we have to do is we have to get individuals to admit and to come to terms with themselves that, yeah, this is a problem, you know, and we don't want to, like, put them out there, you know, ostracize them and put them out there like, oh, man, you know, we want to show them the downfalls, the pitfalls of it, quite naturally, and the ones that are still out there, you know, that's really up on it, like glamorizing it. Yeah, then you show them as these cats right here, man, they're things themselves. You don't want to turn out like that, you know? But you want to give them a way to express themselves, too, you know, and not be frowned upon like, man, they're going to judge me. They're going to look at me like I'm a dope fiend or something. You know what I'm saying?
True. True.
So that limit.
Yeah, that's true, G. We definitely, I was involved in a situation like similar to that on the inside, and working with the youth. And we would go out on the walk because we were in solitary. And that was one of the things that we were, you know, we would just listen to them, you know, look, listen, and learn, doing our observation, study observation, and apply what we learned. And in doing so, you know, we just, like, basically told them, like, man, when somebody say they love you, bro, because we do things because we feel like we want to be accepted. You know, we don't want to be the outcast or whatnot. We want somebody to say it's going to benefit you, which is going to help you. You know, that's
right.
Love. When somebody gives you something that, you know, it's going to help you to destroy yourself or destroy other people, you know, that's not love. And, just, you know, just try to change the perception and give them a different way, you know, of looking at it instead of one angle. You know, give them, you know, five other ways to look at it, and all adding up to the six, fam. But, yeah, we definitely on that. That's love, fam. It's good to, you know that, just be able to speak with you, bro, for real, to be with somebody who's actually involved and understand the vision and what's going on. You know, it's universal love, fam, all around the board, for real.
Never too much about it. Always.
Hold on. I'm going to bring in the next caller. Last four digits, 8028. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Alan Gaines.
Greetings, Brother Alan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about everybody on the call? How are you all doing tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Peace and blessings, family.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I was in agreement with, you know, everything that was on the call. I know that the brother talked about how the opioids have switched up in the rap game. My wife always talks about how, you know, The Weeknd, and I know you mentioned like Future, how it went from glorifying selling drugs to now glorifying the usage of drugs. And I think
right.
that's the one thing that these kids had the wool be pulled over their eyes. When I was a kid, and I grew up in Gary, Indiana, so gang culture was prevalent. And the one thing that we saw was, you know, gangs, we saw violence, we saw those things that happened, but we also saw the drug dealers who actually acted as a vanguard along with the gang members within our community. You know, if you wasn't into gangs, they actually kind of protect you. I came up playing sports. A couple other of my friends did as well, and they steered us away from those gangs, you know. Now, I'm not to say that some of the people that I grew up with didn't end up participating and being a part of those gangs, but it seems as if the attitude and mentality has changed as younger people are being more active participants in gangs. When I was coming up, the gang members were in their 20s and 30s, and they didn't want people living that lifestyle. So they kind of, you know, shielded us away from it. But now, you know, you turn on the TV now, all you see is 16, 17-year-olds who are attempting to, you know, shoot people and deal drugs and all those things as an attempt to prove how much of a game, how much they're into the game. You know, the brother spoke earlier about Chief Keef, and I think Chief Keef was a reaction to what was happening in Chicago, opposed to more of a plant to what is going on in Chicago. So as I look at the culture of everything and that's happening, I think that the kids that we are seeing in these situations don't have a safety net, nor do they have a viable way to make sustainable economics happen in their communities. And that's why I feel as if they're falling victim to what the gang provides, which is a safety net and economics. And, you know, I'll leave it at that.
You're right in many sense. You're right. You're right. Now, whether Chief Keef, and I don't want to just hound on him, but why I say him is because being found that he almost, I'm not going to say originated it, but his style, by him being getting famous from it, he's the one that they look at as the soul starter of drill music, more or less. Okay, now if you're a product of, you know, you're a product of your environment per se, and you did the rap thing or what have you, okay, there are two sides to it. There's, okay, I could get famous from telling what I did and what's being done, or I can get famous from telling what I did and what's being done and then a solution and adding a solution to it. You see what I'm saying? That's where I put the blame on him. And then after that, what, 6-7 years ago till now, and as we see how Chicago, off of that music, what transpired from state to state, even all the way to Florida, excuse me, from Florida to Florida, from Chicago all the way to Florida and down south. From that right there. And what it did is it gave that mindset. We're gonna do this, we're going against laws and protocol anyway. Because of what he is. He doesn't come from a quote unquote gang. He comes from an organization. And misleading is almost similar to what the Willie Lynch syndrome. It misled. It misguided. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro, I totally agree, 2,000%. I'm not being a proponent of Chief Keef. I mean, I blame him as well. But I think that the problem goes deeper than that. When Chief Keef came about, the whole drill music scene came about, those kids were between the ages of 14 and 18. You know, Lil Bibby, Lil Herb, all these kids were like 14, 18. And I say that in the sense of, I say that to say that the school system had failed them, to a large degree their parents had failed them, their communities that was having them being, you know, putting them out there in that way, meaning the gangs or whoever that they were a part of, had failed them as well, or were grooming them to be what they were. I just think that,
right.
I guess the point that I'm making, and, you know, I'm a teacher. So I was going against that in my classroom. You know, you listen to Chief Keef all night, then you come in and try to, you know, read some literature or attempt to do some math work. your brain already scrambled and fried because you, you know, yelling bang, bang. So I'm not that more people in regards to his direct community, as well as us as a generation, have done a lot to let these kids down. And I
think
that's where we need to provide more things like you talk about with the Speed Summit, more things like you talk about with activities. I mean, if Chief Keef had a music after-school program at his school, that wouldn't have been the music that he's probably produced. I mean, I think a lot of these kids don't have the avenues and outlets, and they have the genius and creativity. And since their avenues and outlets are limited, we see the negativity that's being produced opposed to the endless possibilities of creativity had they had the proper channels and outlets. And that's all
that's
I'm
right.
saying. That's what we need
and you
to
know
come
what?
In and provide a solution.
You're right, brother. Hey, you know what? We're on the same page. I agree. I agree 100% with you because I recall my when a superior told him, he was like, it's not we don't blame the body. We blame the head. Because the head more or less thinks for the body. You see what I'm saying? If the mind says go this direction, that's when the limbs follow. It just doesn't do it on its own. So yeah, you're right. It is those before him that allowed him to get that way before he even rapped, and after he was rapping to stay that way. So yeah, I agree with you. But now we have to find out, since it's got so reckless, 2018, what's the solution? We already know the problem. What's the solution? Solution is like my brother down there in Alabama, I believe he said, holding these similar peace summits. It doesn't have to be major, but similar peace summits. Get the neighborhood together. Get all these other organizations or gangs. Talk to these heads. Look, man, we got to come up under one common cause, man. Too much going on, and it's not a black and white thing in the sense of when it comes to the government, because you got white folks, you got white vice lords, white folks, you got white people, you got white Crips, you got white blood. We need to come together for our community, no matter who's living in there. When I had UIC up here in Detroit, I had the kids. From my son was 6 years old all the way up to 18 years old. You had to pull your pants up. They know that super sagging, they make loose fit already. We went through the neighborhood picking up paper, the little bags, there's some little bags that they give out at the store, put your groceries in, not the paper bags, but the other ones, little plastic bags or whatever it is. Get a couple of those. They give out so many in Kroger and the rest of these stores anyway. Pick up the paper, put some little gloves on, pick up the paper throughout the community. And the neighbor seeing that, we would cut the abandoned houses, we would cut the grass. You're not going to come over here, strip the piping out of them and any of that. The boarded houses and stuff like that, hey, they're going to stay that way. It wasn't a thing of that's the landlord's or that's the city's responsibility when they don't even, they come once a month, if that. Or send a representative, or you mail it in. So sometimes they don't even come at all. It's you're there. You have to take care of your community. You have to have that pride within yourself so when your area is clean, you feel clean. Not just the clothes you wear. Your mindset feels clean. Your mindset is, man, you know, look around. It looks like it almost... It's the difference between wintertime and the summertime. Wintertime, you see all that snow if you get it, whether it be minor or major. And it's dark and soot is on it and dirt and stuff. It's depressing. When summertime is starting to come and you see the grass and you can see it turning green and stuff like that, your spirits are even uplifted. So if you see dirt, paper and stuff all around throughout the community and stuff like that, you go, oh, man, you know, like that song's about war or whatever, the world is a ghetto. No. Start cleaning up your home. That's what I did up here.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I totally agree. You know, one of the reasons why I moved my family from Gary, Indiana to Los Angeles is because of the brightness and, you know, the aesthetic is more pleasing to the eye, but also just, like you said, that sun, that light, it gives you more of a sense of hope. And that's one of the things that, you know, whenever I have family members come out, that's the one thing that they talk about. Like, man, it's just brighter. It's just always more vibrant. But I say that, and I also want to get to, you know, you talked about a pollution. I think one of the big solutions that I'm going to be pushing, I wrote a book, but one of the things that I want to make sure that I'm pushing, and I'm thinking about it in the sense of the movement, we have to humanize the people that society has criminalized. And what I mean by that is, you know, we are very quick to put people who found themselves on the wrong side of the law, found themselves in some type of trouble, or just didn't reach their full potential, and we don't use those people as the sounding boards or the mentors for the next generation. And that's what I want to do. A lot of the times we have people who can tell you exactly what not to do, but they don't have the status as others, so we don't even invite them in to speak to the kids, or we don't do things to allow them to be around youth. I mean, about 100% of all organizations have some type of background screening before you can volunteer. Well,
that's right.
I get it. You know, a lot of people were lost during their teenage years and maybe even to their early 20s, but they've grown out of those things. They've, you know, life has wiser, made them more wiser and allowed them to have experiences that are very valuable that I've never had. And, you know, those are the people that I think that we should make sure are more around our youth and more involved in our youth, because, one, it gives them ability to right their wrongs, but also it gives them the opportunity to guide the paths of these young people that are searching for direction. You know, as a teacher or by professional people, a lot of the times they feel that there's a disconnect, that you didn't come from this community or you didn't have these experiences, so you're not worth listening to. A solution to that, like I say, that solution, I feel as if we should just, like I say, humanize people that have been criminalized or been cadened off from talking to the people that need it the most. And
that's,
I leave
right.
you with that.
That's right, plenty much, brother. That's a righteous understanding right there. That's true. It's similar to Jesus. And even those that are Muslim understand that whether he was the Son of God or not, can't dispute that he was a humble and on a servant's level, but in a sense a savior too. So I understand where you're coming from, exactly.
Brother Allen, do you think you'll make it out to the Peace Summit?
That's my goal. That's my goal. I know we're supposed to be on a call later on tonight. But that's definitely my goal, to try to make it out.
Okay, good, because it would be a good opportunity. Tell the listeners the title of your book and how they can find it.
The title of it is Flipping the Scripts: How to Reject Society's Narratives and Write Your Own Destiny. They can go online to my website, www.flippingthescripts.com, and that's FLIPPINGTHESTRIPS.com, flippingthescripts.com. Just briefly, it's about, you know, allowing kids to reject the narratives of being in gangs, that their father's not in their life, womanizing, homosexuality, and write their own destiny by allowing themselves to reveal the power that they have of choice and develop the discipline to be successful at whatever they choose to in life.
Thank you so much for that. And we're going to continue to promote the book because we had a very good conversation, even following the broadcast last week off the air about, you know, addressing those issues that you mentioned. I'd like to be selfish for a second, if y'all don't mind, while I have all three of you brothers on the line. And one of the things that we're doing as African women is embarking on the Africana Melanated Womanism tour and speaking engagements to engage our sisters and our future queens, if you will, even the younger girls, into conversations on womanhood. And one of the things that we talked about is the fact that we need to communicate how important it is to our brothers and our men that they still protect us. And so Can you help me with a message, if you will, or some things that we want to be sure that we communicate, not from a standpoint of how we typically are described as angry Black women, but from a standpoint of communicating to our brothers, one, how much we love and respect and appreciate them, despite what mainstream media gives them the impression of, and two, again, how important it is that they resume their role, if you will, in the village in protecting, you know, the women, children, and the elderly. And I yield with that.
Let me, before I let the other brother speak right quick, let me quickly elaborate on that. While we were in Ohio over the weekend, past weekend, that was one of the things that came up. And for those that are up under growth and development, let's put it this way, anybody that is under the banner of folks or people, whether you be a SOS, Sisters of the Struggle, or a Flower, which is a Vice Lord, the Peoples, under the new, there's a newer chain of command that has been put out, and it's stamped and sealed with the official GND seal, that there is no longer, we don't speak just of BOS, Brothers of the Struggle. It's BOS/SOS, because the sisters play a major part, the women play a major part in our not only existence, but to the mindset, the backbone of a man in general. And that is it. We have to protect them. Yes, we do. How a woman should carry herself in order to be thoroughly respected. But all in all, the man, it is his responsibility to ensure the safety of his household or his community. And the woman is quite naturally in both, whether it be in the community, meaning if you're separated or what have you, you're still a woman in that community, and you have to uplift her and uphold her to the best of your ability. So that's by law, that's by order for those that are up under the, you know, within the six. Brother. Yeah, I'm here. Okay, my brother from Alabama, you here?
Yeah, that's growth and development, fam. It's all one mind, one cause, one direction, fam. You know, it's the same vision. And, you know, it is what you said it is, fam. That's law, you know. So, I mean, that's you know, we're the same understanding, you know, about that matter. And that's being implemented, you know, where I'm at and wherever I go, you know, wherever we are, you know, we have to uphold that and stand strong upon those principles.
That's right. We the sisters have to, like, from a personal standpoint, Brother Anthony McIntyre of Switch Lanes was telling the folks, man, you know, how he honors the woman, and he's an official board member, just for those that are inquisitive. But we were telling that, you know, from a manly standpoint, we have to aid and assist and protect. The woman nowadays that want to be called a bad bitch or things of that sort, we need more women that are mentors towards them and not accepting what society deems them as, especially the Black woman, is not just mad and angry and Black, but a bad bitch. You know what I'm saying? To say that, well, I'm not angry, I'm not. The definition of a bitch came from a dog. And a dog, a female dog, why they called her a bitch is because when she, you know, dogs have that time of the month, she would get, when there are male dogs around, or another female, it doesn't matter, it's around that time, she would get bitchy. She would want to fight. You see what I'm saying? And so
cats took on that turmoil. You acting like a bitch, you know, meaning throughout the attitude. But as people deal with the nigger word, they try to glamorize, turn it into something that that was demeaning and derogatory towards us, and try to make it something else. I don't use the word period, personally. I mean, though there are those that do, and it's all good. But me personally, I don't, because I know the origin of it. Nevertheless, though, that's the same way with the bitch word. You know, I'm a bad bitch, I'm this or whatever, you know. Well, you lowering yourself, not knowing the true definition of it.
Well, my take on it, you know, and Queen, to stick to your question about how we can support, you know, as a man growing up, I know that I had very bad narratives about, you know, what a man was supposed to be in terms of in a relationship and all those things. So as I've evolved and I've gotten older, what I realized, you know, even just in my own household, was I don't think I should lead. I should just support. My wife has done a beautiful job of defining herself and the things that she want to do, and she's been supportive in the things that I want to do within my life. But I think that we found our harmony and our balance when I realized that I didn't have to do anything but support her, just do the same thing that was given to me. So however you sisters are attempting to define yourselves or mentor the young lady and things of that nature, I think that men should be able to do what you all have done for centuries, and we still have been operating in American and Eurocentric mind frame that men aren't supposed to support women. But I think we should just be able to support it. You know,
that's true.
Be the time that you all have the opportunity to define and think and put the plans in action, and we should be the ones, you know, for lack of a better term, running the copiers, setting up the tables and doing the things that will allow you all to have the optimal. And I think that that's the way that we could be best and most supportive, because a lot of the times, because we haven't had the growth as two opposing sexes, when we start to put in our input, we're still saying it from a male standpoint. I'm a father of three girls, you know, so young princesses and queens in training. And the thing that I've learned is, hey, what my wife says, because she knows how to be an excellent woman, is what I'm going to support. Now, when it's my time for my input with my daughters, or, you know, it's time to co-parent and be, you know, one unified parenting system, that's when I give it. But other than that, I don't know how to be a woman. You know, I have no idea. I have no clue. So to be a strong black woman is something that I think very few in the world outside of the strong black women that they are can speak to. So I think that that's where we have to understand that we're not relinquishing power. We're actually empowering ourselves by sitting back, learning, and listening in those situations. So if there's anything that I can do that's, you know, formidable, then I will attempt to support in that fashion. I'll leave it at that.
Ashe.
Indeed.
Ashe. Well, Brother Royal, you know, we appreciate you coming on the air tonight. Do you have any parting words for the listeners until the next time we have you back on the air?
I appreciate you having me, number one. It's my pleasure. I would say all that we know that's positive and productive to implement it the best way we know how. And for those that can make it to the Peace Summit, please come. You're more than welcome. We're going to get something positive out of it. We're going to leave with positive energy. It's going to be a rewarding experience. And it's going to be something that we can take back to our prospective areas and implement it. And we're praying, hoping and praying for a change. And it's going to come. It's going to come.
That's right. That's right. King Dati, did you get a chance to respond? And do you have anything in closing?
Yeah, peace, Queen. Just in closing, you know, as the brother was speaking on, just equality. You know, I was thinking about the universal principle. Our first principle of existence is love. And it asks us to look beyond the negativity and the ignorance, the stupidity you know, in others to the potential good, because we are all good by nature. It is innate in us to be good. It's our nature. So in reverting back to our nature, we just ask to treat others how we want to be treated. But
right,
in order to do so, you have to internalize what it is that you are doing and what you're saying to someone else. Do you want that done or said to you? Would you speak like that to your mother, your sister, your daughter? Would you want someone else to do it? If the answer is no, then change it. Change your mindset. In order to change our reality, we're going to have to change our mentality. And in order to destroy the negative, we just have to build on the positive. And our peace with that, love, peace, and happiness.
Respect.
All right, y'all. We are off to a very, very good start with the Peace and Unity Summit. And again, you know, recognizing the works of, you know, our ancestor, Carl Upchurch, and those that supported and came through to be a part of the original summit, and those that are supporting and are going to come through to support this one to mark the 25th anniversary in 2018, April 28th and 29th in Chicago, Illinois. And this is just the beginning. We're planting, replanting seeds and nurturing our roots. So thank you again, Brother Royal. Big shout out to Brother Hess and all of those behind the scenes making this event happen. It's been a labor of love, and it's not been easy because, you know, we're doing something that some are not willing to do, and that's get in the trenches with this thing, y'all, and that's what it's going to take in order for the bridges to be built that we need to reconnect and unify our community. So thank you, everybody, for your love and energy. And as always, we love you. We thank you. And most of all, we appreciate and respect you. We're going to end it with some Isley Brothers, Living for the Love of You. We'll see everybody tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Queen Tahira going off to celebrate my oldest granddaughter's 12th birthday tonight. Happy birthday, Amira. Nana loves you so much. Ashe, thank you for that. We'll see everybody tomorrow night.
Peace and blessings, love and service. Mystery.
sign my name on a card which can say it better. Time will tell, 'cause it seems that I've done just about all that I can do. I know that I'm living for the love of you. Oh, yes, I am. I know that I'm living for the love of you. Every day I'm living for love of you. I'm living. I'm